Hey guys, quick announcement. You're getting two episodes today. Chad and I had two friends that we love a lot that we wanted to put in front of you guys. A, because we love talking to them, and B, because they both have recently made something great. So we have David Huntsberger on this episode, and we have Bill Squire on the other episode. They're both fantastic. Enjoy two episodes this Monday.
Hey everybody, this is Chad Daniels, and you have landed in the middle of somewhere. Hello, how are you? Are you doing great? I sure hope so. Listen, we're going to get right to it. Across from me, as always, is Cyrus Amundsen.
Hello, I have nothing clever to say because someone I love is here. Introduce him.
Ladies and gentlemen that are listening to the show, he is a returning guest. He is a great friend of mine, an okay friend of size.
Yeah, okay.
And, all right. Listen, love him to death. Happy to have him back. It's David Huntsberger.
Hello.
Hello, fellas. I love you both so much. It's great to be back.
Wow. But thank not you. Equally, he was thinking.
We don't need to get into that. We know who's known who longer. This is not an important part. What's important for the people, and Chad and I are trending towards video because, you know, we want to be part of the content world from 4 years ago. But right now we're an audio program, and the people who cannot see David, he has the most sexually attractive Zoom window on our show. I mean, Chad and I show up dressed like we're about to rake leaves to afford soup that we're gonna like spill on ourselves. We are, and your background is a wood shop. It's a shoppish area. Mm-hmm. You have a beanie, you're rugged, your face hair is on point. And I don't want to make you uncomfortable, but this is, look at Chad and I's ceilings. We're garbage. You look great.
You guys do have kind of a hotel ballroom panel ceiling, whereas, you know, I've got the... I look so much more Minnesota than you guys.
I was having internet problems, so I'm on my phone instead of my computer. Normally, this is a gorgeous setup. I have posters on the back wall, actually one that you drew, Dave.
Nice.
But you can't see any of that because I'm leveled up, I think, to my ceiling panels that still have asbestos in them, I'm guessing. And so that's kind of how I roll here. Dave does right now look like he'd say something like, I don't even know how to play the guitar. And then you handed him one and he just started ripping away at it. He started playing both parts, the rhythm and the lead. Where you don't even strum the guitar, you're just like hitting it with your fingertips. And then he goes into a very loving slow song.
He looks like, and I think this is the highest compliment I can give, he looks like the sort of man who is driving a truck in one of those truck commercials where he starts near the ocean and ends near the snowy mountains. That's the sort of...
This is the only podcast to ever do. Just come in and get unlimited compliments. People just searching their brain for the nicest thing they can say. What a beauty.
It's you are neutral or multiple site truck handsome right now. Yeah.
Multiple site.
I hate this the most because here we are spilling compliments one over the other. And, I'm known at Dave's house as Uncle Tits.
That's true.
So now, granted, I'm the one that asked for that nickname.
It stuck immediately, You know, sometimes people will throw up, what if the boy called me this? No. And then we both were in agreement immediately. Like, oh, yeah, that seems like you're born with that name.
Yeah, I just was like, how about Uncle Tits? And then I forgot about it. And then we were all in person, live in person at a park near Los Angeles. And then someone just goes, hey, go give Uncle Tits a hug. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. We did agree on that. Damn it.
Yeah. But you both look great.
Thank you.
That's nice
a,
you to say.
That's a tough sentence to hear in a park if you're just with your family, not connected to you guys. You're just wiping some spit up off your baby, and you just go give Uncle Tits a hug. You're like, uh-oh.
Right. So what have you been up to, Dave?
Oh, making a lot of stuff out of wood.
Yep, nice.
No, I'm always fighting to be considered a hipster, and I don't know if that term's even relevant anymore. I know there was a period where there was like a lot of backlash against that, you know, of being a hipster and having elitist taste in anything, music, coffee.
Sure.
I like things that are handmade. I think I'm just not hip, but I am a hipster. You know, I like things. Oh, what's that? Where's that from? Gross. You know, I'll kind of be that way. And so I've gotten really into just finding old garbage and fixing it up. Love stainless steel, love old pans, love cleaning things in vinegar. I'm real into that suddenly. Got some hand
planes. Like a whiteboard?
I got a whiteboard that was free because it was so trashed out. And then I found this tons of blogs to find, but there's so many of them, they become white noise for a whiteboard. And then you got to really dig. A lot of them are just people on YouTube going, I tried this cleaner and this cleaner, and this is what worked. And it's all kind of the same three things. People try alcohol, they try nail polish remover, and they try like some sort of sponge. What it is toothpaste. Get yourself some toothpaste. And you need it with like peroxide in it. So Arm & Hammer does a good one. Rub that on your board. Let it sit a bit. And then you'll feel differently about your teeth. You're like, why do people even use teeth whitener? You just got to walk around with your mouth open with toothpaste stuck to your teeth for like a couple hours. And just don't talk to anyone. It kind of sound like that. And you have really white teeth. But then that, and then WD-40. You clean off the toothpaste. You put some WD-40 on it. You rub it in a few. Like, you got to take like a day. Give it a coat every few hours. And then it's fixed.
That was a real.
I'm gonna quote Flagpole, the song Flagpole Sitta here.
That happens a lot on this show.
If you're bored, then you're boring. Because if you've ever said there's nothing to do, and great. Dave is just collecting a whiteboard off of Craigslist and figuring out how to get peroxide toothpaste and WD-40 to clean it off. I mean, come on.
Oh,
there's
man.
Always something.
There's always, yeah, I got a router, and in doing so, my life mate was like, you got to sell your other one, which was kind of cheap and not so
time
safe.
Out. Router, are you talking internet, or talking woodworking?
Woodworking, yeah, spinning
okay,
bits.
Okay. Yep.
And so I sold my other one that had been trusty. I'd made a lot of stuff with it, but it was only like 5/8 horsepower. I mean, come on. This new one's 1.5. It's a beast. It's got a little light that shines
Jesus
on what you're doing.
Christ.
Yeah, it's a pro. But you get old electronic items. You know what happens? Power tools? The damn carbon brushes wear out. Well, hell. Then you got to go
tell
around.
Me about it, dude.
You feel like a maniac. You go into any parts store and you have these little tiny, they look like just pieces of charcoal. You're like, do you sell these? No one does because they want you to buy new parts. So then you're on like the Grainger parts site where you have to like know the manufacturer's number and you got to measure stuff.
Part numbers.
Oh, yeah. You got to have millimeters down and you got to know the spring length and the leads and. It gets a little much. But then I'd given up on that. I was like, all right, I'm sick of chasing these carbon brushes around. There's this plate that had gotten sucked in to the inside of the spinny router on the commutator, they call it. That's the middle part, like the electromagnet.
Of course it's called that.
I'm with tweezers pulling this little plate out, this lead essentially.
Operation.
Yeah. And man, you fix that, put the brushes back in, plug it in, wait. Pull that trigger, zoom! It's a good feeling. It's pretty good.
What a journey this first part has been. You started with, I'm into woodworking. That was somewhere in your open, and I had a very firm vision of that. And you swooned down into what felt like Raccoon King, guy who is collecting treasures from who knows where. And you ended...
Dave, he was saying raccoon, just
we
so you know.
Get it. And... ended with kind of this like new age Tim the Tool Man, you know. Yeah, that was fun. There's a lot of different things going on here. And then,
yeah, thanks, man.
As somebody who collects trash, constantly.
Uh-huh.
I recently have acquired a fair amount of garbage from a store that Jenna didn't want me to have, like thrift stores, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Are you more into the idea of taking something that's awful and making it, you know, restoring to what it is? Is that the thing that gets you, or is it the uniqueness of the item?
It's all of it. And to go back to the router thing, it's a woodworking tool. So it did kind of come all the way back around to woodworking.
That's true, yeah.
And I always get made fun of by this person I live with, who I raise a child with, that a tool is never mine until I've like disassembled it. So if I start a project, the first thing I have to do, always something breaks. I go to put like my circular saw on a piece of wood and just, damn it. So then I'm like taking the whole thing apart and rewiring the switch. And then I know it. Then I feel like I know, okay, you know, I know this item. I like, especially with wood stuff, I found a bunch of stuff just on the curb. Looks awful. If it's interacted with a cat too much, I won't touch it. But if it's just dirty, dusty, spills all over it, stains, I love taking it apart because you'll find like old square nails, like hand forged nails and stuff. And then a lot of times you can find out like, oh, this is why it's broken. So it's a study in what was someone's mind doing to make this? What did they think structurally it needed? How can I replace that? And I just feel gross buying anything new. There's plenty of stuff on the planet. There's plenty of stuff. And most of it that was made long ago is way better.
This is where you and I disagree. I mean, we disagree on other things. But so if I would have a router that I wasn't exactly sure what was happening, I'd take it apart. And like you, I'd take it apart. I'd look at what potentially was wrong. Then I would throw it away in a, probably a body of water. I would also go to Home Depot. I would find two more of the same brand, buy those with gift cards. I'd throw those in the water just to be like, just to make a point. Like, listen here, you fucking this brand, you suck. And then I'd go get another brand or hire someone else to do my work.
Yeah, I mean, we're so slightly different in that.
That's how I like to do things.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, just barely, but there are some nuanced differences.
When I'm in the throes of it, I feel insane. I feel like someone on speed or meth that's just relentlessly cleaning and like, stop doing this. You need to do other things in your life. Move on. But then I'm like, well, if I factor in how much time it would take me to drive over there and park, and this is actually I'm saving time. Stupid. Sorry, Si, I kind of interrupted you. Sorry, buddy.
No, I had nothing to add. In fact, I was just opening myself up to scrutiny. So I will just continue.
You've always, Dave, you've always been kind of a do-it-yourself guy. I mean, one of the most fascinating things. So I own a belt that you made, and it's going to last hundreds of years after I'm dead. I mean, it's just that well made. And one of the most fascinating things is you put yourself through college by shoeing horses. I mean, I think we talked about that last time, and you were also in the rodeo. So I know you had a story about the rodeo. I would like to hear it.
Sure. Yeah. Rodeo similar to comedy. It was a good start. Every weekend is a different place. So and they broke up Nevada into two parts, the North and the South. And you go to the state finals where those two factions would compete against each other. And I never got my teammate and I, when I was a junior, we qualified for the state finals and I didn't get to go, which sucked.
Was your teammate a horse?
Teammate?
Yeah, a team roper. I scooped up the heels. I was a healer. That's where the action's.
We're going to need a pretty thorough, and not just for our dumb brains, but I think for everybody at home, let's really quickly recap what it means to do competitive rodeo and who's involved in it.
Sure. If you've been to the rodeo at all, or mostly it was just picture any activity where people are like, I bet I can stay on that thing longer than you. Or, if you're like, if you're sorting cattle, either to ship them or doctor them or something, then that became an activity. There's cutting horse events where I'm going to train this horse to like cut a single cow out of the herd and just be a soccer goalie against it and not let it get back to the herd. And that's judged. I was more into, if you have a herd of cattle and one has like pink eye, then you'd run out there and throw a rope around its neck and your partner might come along.
Butterfly kiss it.
You know what the old cowboy thing to do was cut the, you'd have pockets off of like old Wranglers, and then you'd have a glue stick and you just, you rope them, tie them down, and then you open their eye up, and Herefords get it a lot. I don't know why, maybe because they have like white fur around their eyes, but they would get pink eye all the time. You open their eyelid and this like talc poof, poof, right onto the eyeball. Poof. You just like baby powder their eye. Then you take the glue stick and go around and around the eyeball and place the pocket of your jeans over it. And by the time the glue wore off, the pocket would fall off and their eye would be cured. They wouldn't have pink eye anymore. And so if you imagine that starting of like, hey, that one has pink eye, let's go get it. I'll rope the head. You come along while it's kind of figuring out what's going on and rope its hind legs. And then wrap that around your horn on your saddle and kind of back your horse up. And then we'll have it kind of stretched and we can work on it where it can't gore us. And then imagine people seeing that, like, I can do that faster than you. And it becomes an activity where you, like, you go into a chute and there's one person on either side and there's a steer in the middle. And then you do like a head nod, like a cool, like a Pee Wee Herman, you know, when he gets up there and he's going to like do the dance and just gives that like subtle. You give a little head nod, pew, chute opens, steer flies out, header comes, my guy Kyle, the best, big Indian dude, played football with him as well. And he would go rope the head, and then I'd swing in there and rope the hind legs. And when I was a sophomore, I think, yeah, I was 16. I took the SATs or the ACT prep or something at like 10 a.m. There's a rodeo that day at maybe 2 or 3 in the afternoon in Fallon, Nevada.
How many people were headed to the rodeo after the ACT prep?
It couldn't have
been a lot. I'm assuming you were the only one. Is that right?
I think so. Yeah. I think it was just me. Anyone need a ride to the rodeo, to the high school rodeo?
That's the safest fucking question anyone's ever asked.
Yeah, so I stand there a while, just kind of looking around the room. Anyone? Any barrel racers, pole benders of the like? No one? Any bull riders even? No? They're all little and wiry. I can fit like 10 of you in. Come on. And no takers. So I had to drive home, and I was using maybe my mom's pickup truck. And she at the time had one of those like old school Nokia cell phones. With like a leather thing. It was huge. It was like they used on Saved by the Bell.
The one you can play Snake on? Oh, even older.
Yeah, even older.
One that Zach ordered pizza on.
You could pull up the antenna and then like this little flap would flap down. So I had that in the car. Like, anything goes wrong, use that. Okay. And then I'm 16. I hook up the horse trailer, load up my horse, and I'm driving out to Fallon, which is like an hour-ish. Not even that, 45 minutes. And I'm kind of running late because of the ACTs. And I'm wearing really tight pants. I don't know why. I just felt like...
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are.
I can still remember these pants. Like, why on earth did I think it was like
a... The sort of pants that fit perfectly in a truck heading from the oceans to the mountains.
Oh, man. Back then?
You think you're going to heal a cow... Without a moose knuckle, right? just rubbing on your saddle horn, please.
Yeah, you can't get your hands caught in your JNCOs while you're going for your lasso.
No, these things are painted on tight, and it's hot. And I'm driving out there, got my horse in the back. It's rural, it's open, you know, there's like just a gravelly shoulder. And the truck runs out of gas. I don't know if it was the gauge or it was just me being like, I should be fine, which I went through a phase of doing that quite a bit. And so it's real hot, and I just coast over the side, and it's a two-lane highway, and people are just zooming past me. But I'm near one of those, you know, in those rural areas, like off to the side, there will just be like a gigantic, it looks like a lodge, you know, like wood round, like cedar poles for the railing of a front deck kind of thing.
Yep.
So it's that, but it's one of those places where like we sell modular homes or propane tanks, or it's sort of an industrial thing, but just off on its own. It's the one thing that's there. And I happen to coast and stop right in front of it. So I get out and I'm at first like, should I hitchhike? I'm 16 and I weigh like 120 pounds. I don't, maybe I'll go check
and
in.
You
with
don't even know what you got on the ACTs yet. You gotta at least wait to get murdered before that.
I know. I got a lot of threads I need to conclude here. And so I look at the phone. It of course has no signal. So I walk over to this business and I open the door and kind of peek in. And it's one of those where like, we don't get customers. What are you doing? It's big trucks drive in here and they give us invoices or like, what do they call loading sheet or something.
Yeah.
So they're not expecting me to peek in. And I'm like, hey, I just ran out of gas. You guys don't have, can I use your phone or call? And this lady is just like, uh-uh. I'm like, can I call someone and just let my parents know I'm, no, you can't come in here. Okay, I'll just be out in front of your business, just standing there. Okay. So I leave and just go. And then I decide, like, I'm going to do it. I'm kind of half-heartedly hitchhiking. Like, man, this is a weird part of the world. Luckily, it's broad daylight. But this little truck shows up, packed with junk, my kind of guy. So much junk, cans and stuff in the back of this little, like, Nissan pickup truck with a camper shell in the back. The shell is filled to the top with trash. And this old man was so sweet. And he's like, you need some help? And I was like, I needed some gas. And he goes, this will be my good deed for the day. Get in. And he drove me down the road to the gas station. We get there. Real tight pants, no wallet. I go, oh, even better. I was in such a hurry to change after the ACTs. I have nothing. I have no wallet, money, any. I don't have my driver's license. So he's like, oh, that's okay. I'll hook you up. This is, again, my good deed for the day. So he gives me like $5 worth of gas. We go back, load up my truck. He wishes me well, sends me off. Didn't kill me. Bless his heart. And I took my horse out and just tied him to the trailer on like the safe side of the road. I can't remember, but it was hot. I would have asked the business, hey, can you keep an eye on my horse? But again, they were not nice. So I get back in the truck, I drive to the rodeo, and a friend of mine comes over and is like, you're not gonna believe it. They moved the team roping to the end. You didn't miss it. I'm like 2 hours late by this point. So I'm like, sweet. Like shotgun my horse out of the back, throw my saddle on, race over. And I was, this is such a dumb term. I'm sure they've changed it in the ensuing years. But at the time you were just referred to as open. Oh, I'm open. Which meant like, I'll just rope with anybody. So you just show up and get in the box and you look over like, who's going to be doing the Pee Wee Herman head nod? It's just a stranger. We've never practiced together. I've driven all this way to just rope with this person I've never seen. So you get in the box. Hey man, how's it going? They do the Pee Wee nod, race out. He throws his loop. It's an illegal head catch. So I see it. So I kind of check up like, we're disqualified. This brings a lot of things into question. Some people would say, you just charge ahead. It's on the ref to call a foul. You got to just do your thing. I'm at the time like, well, this is dishonest. So I throw my shot. I catch one leg, but I don't dally it up to the horn. I'm like, what are we even doing? So I kind of let it go. And he sees this. He's furious. He's like, what are you doing? And I was like, So then we end up like zooming around the arena. It's just like hauling the steer around like full speed. And I'm just like, doing my best to try to get a second shot, and then I do and I miss, and then the ref of course comes over and is like, that's bad. But the guy was just so incensed with me. So in short, I didn't get a full ride to Yale because of my ACTs. I did get to the rodeo. We did not win any money or succeed in any way.
The idea that open is a rodeo term.
Yeah, isn't that great?
If I could marry that concept, I would.
And I'm an open header. Hey, I'm looking for a healer. I'm an open header. Anybody? Any takers
out y'all?
There?
I'm going to need someone to come on over here and heal me. I am open. All takers. That's great.
I will throw with anybody. You just eye contact with one dude. Anybody.
Well, and then later that year I did do that, and me and this kid, we ended up getting like third place. And so then it was like our parents doing an arranged marriage. Maybe these kids should rope together all year. We're both sophomores in high school. Okay. We probably said 9 words to each other, and we never did well again. We went to like 3 or 4 more rodeos. I don't think we ever caught anything again, but that first one was magic.
I thought for sure that you were going to say when you got there that you couldn't rope because your horse was so tired from running the whole way because you forgot to put him back in the trailer.
No. One time, though, he was so juiced up, we'd branded some calves in the morning and then put him in the trailer, driven to a junior rodeo. This is where, like, 10 and 12-year-olds are competing. And I was going to rope, and we just, like, again, threw him out of the trailer, ran over there, go catch this steer. And, like, midway down the arena, down the track, I just feel like something feels weird. And I didn't realize he was bucking so hard. We had video of it where, like, his heels were kicking way up over, like, my head. He was, like, fully vertical.
Oh, wow.
It was nuts. And then I fell off, and that was a wasted day, too. So I think if I can share anything, if you're hurrying to rodeo, just take it easy. It might not work out.
Yeah, just hey there, if you've just taken the ACT, this is a public service announcement, if you've just taken the ACTs and you're hurrying off to a rodeo, which, as you do, make sure you have your wallet. Make sure there's gas in the tank because, you know, who knows if somebody's going to throw an illegal headshot? We don't know. We don't know that.
Doesn't it just seem so strange, though? You know, you being a parent recently of teenagers, I guess technically still one, of 16 years old, like, here's some livestock and a truck and trailer, just head off.
Yeah, it seems very
and I didn't weird. I didn't succeed. I really teenagered it. I mean, I was not, didn't have my stuff together at all.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Do you follow automotive news? Or do you just like cars and want to see what the heck's going on? Well, then you might like Donut Media's new podcast, The Big Three. Hi, I'm James Pumphrey, and every week, me and my co-host / two of my top five friends, Nolan Sykes and Joe Weber, unpack the latest and greatest in automotive news and trends on The Big Three. You'll also get a lot of laughs, hot takes, and personal insight on cars from the biggest car guys in automotive media. So, whether you're a hardcore enthusiast or just a person who goes, that's a good-looking car, check out The Big Three, available wherever you get your podcasts, or you can watch the full videos at Donut Podcasts on YouTube.
What? So you're talking about woodworking earlier. What do you got going on behind you? You got...
Yeah, you're looking at, well, I don't know how long you guys have to hear this tale, because it's in my head lengthy. The process of, maybe the story is very short, but in the pandemic, I was running a lot. That was how I, like, kept my mental health, or just, you know, to get outside a little bit. And remember, there was that period where, like, I don't know if you should run. You know, they're spraying the streets in Wuhan. We don't know if this thing is, like, just particles on the sidewalk and you're bringing it home. But I was like, I think that's absurd. That's a bridge I won't cross. So I'm going to chance it and just think the sidewalks are safe. So I would go running, and a few times I would pass this gigantic beam, like 20 feet long, 4 inches by 13 inches. It was, I think, meant to be an exposed beam in a home. It's a little warped, and there's a fairly decent sized crack running through it. And I think they just went like, oh, this isn't a showpiece. So they just chucked it on the curb. And so I would run by it all the time, be like, oh man, the beast. Imagine what I could make with all that. That is an. And this is like before wood prices went bananas. So I just already was like, that is unbelievable. Someone's going to come get it. That's a shame. But for weeks it went by. And then I'm starting to look like, maybe I can get a chainsaw. out of nowhere, my mom goes, hey, I have an old chainsaw that my dad gave me. I've been holding on to it for years. I had not brought it up. She just out of nowhere said that. I go, amazing.
Wow.
So she brings up this chainsaw, and she'd gotten it tuned fairly recently. So I know, oh, there's probably that gas is probably old. It's probably bad. So I look on YouTube to a tutorial. Never go with the first tutorial. This guy's like, doesn't matter how bad your gas is. Use this seafoam cleaner, pour it in there. Boom, it'll just clean it out. Run it through there. I have this seafoam additive. So I'm like, I don't need to go buy gas. I have the thing. Great. So I go pour this little bit of seafoam in, start up the chainsaw. It runs beautifully for like 15 seconds. And then I suck all that sediment into the carburetor, which is like a little hummingbird. It's tiny on a chainsaw.
Yep.
And that set in motion like 2 weeks of running by the beast, going home desperately trying to fix my chainsaw. I'll tackle it again tomorrow, continuously not having the chainsaw running. At one point, I sprayed some like ether on this little screen. I mean, it's smaller than like a contact lens. And when I sprayed it, it flew out of my hand and just into the backyard. And I was like, no! So I built a net and like Rick Moranis style was like sifting stuff through this net. Just being like, we don't have anywhere to go. Everyone's just in the house watching Netflix. This is fine. So I'm just in the backyard sifting, looking for the stupid screen. But there's leaf blowers and stuff everywhere in Los Angeles. So I track down a small engine's parts house. I buy a new screen, get the carburetor fixed. I get my chainsaw. The beast is still there. Mind you, I'm like waiting sometimes days. At one point, a dog had pooped on the beast. And I was like, okay, no one owns this. No one's coming back for it. It is definitively trash. There's poop on it. So I drive over there with this newly fixed chainsaw. And I just wearing a mask for one, like respiratory reasons, two, the pandemic. And I fire up my chainsaw, but I want to give everyone that might have a claim to it a chance to come get it. So I don't want to just start cutting into their wood and get yelled at by saying, what are you doing? That's my beam. So I just stand there for a while running my chainsaw. Just like
you're like a 21-year-old on a crotch rocket at a red light when a group of girls is walking by in a bachelorette party, just
Yep. And man, that sound you just did is really satisfying. Cause it wasn't too high and tinny. It wasn't too low and gurgly. It was real nice and like a nice idle. Got the high and the low jet really good on that carburetor. So I'm letting
I knew you were coming on today. I've been working on it.
Just to be clear, you're just standing in the street with a chainsaw and a mask on.
Yeah,
just
in a neighborhood I don't
You haven't started. Yeah, okay.
Oh, that man drove over and it's just standing there running a chainsaw and a mask. Yeah, that was me for like probably a good 15 or 20 seconds, which is so much longer than it sounds like to be doing that. I finally start cutting into it. I've decided I'm going to go 8, 6, and 6, two cuts. But going through that much and the chain, I didn't put a lot of time into sharpening it, which I should have. So it's a little dull. It's bogging down. I get through one cut and then I go to do my second cut. The chainsaw dies. So the saga of the beast like continues. I load up my one piece. I look around. Someone's got to come yell at me. No one does. I leave. I then continue the chainsaw saga. It just kept sucking more junk up into that carburetor because of that stupid move of putting that seafoam thing in. If I had just dumped it out and put in new gas, this story would be over by now. But
if you just would have asked Sato from Karate Kid 2 to land underneath the beam during a storm, and Miyagi-san could have come by and just one time.
There's no way. This thing is enormous. This was like the inner core of a giant tree. 20 feet. It's huge. And I finally got back and like got the chains out of work, cut it up, and then I dragged this whole thing home. And then it was just a matter of like milling my own lumber. So that like that desk thing you see back there is not only my favorite thing I've probably ever made, but it has no nails or glue in it. It's all joinery. So it's like dovetail and mortise and tenon.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. Carving all that stuff took forever. I mean, it was getting to a level, you know, when you're like kind of working on something, you're like, okay, I'm ready to be done with this. And then you still have so much longer to go, like a long road trip or something. Yep. That's kind of how it felt. Yep. But I don't know. It was fun. It was a way to pass the time during such a bizarre period.
We'll put it on a picture of it on our Instagram because it is beautiful.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah, it's really great. I mean, your decisions with gasoline throughout your life suck shit, but your ability to make nice things is great.
Thank you. All free. Every single thing you see there, too. All the wood. The top was free. All the parts of it were just stuff like near a dumpster, like on a curb. It was so strange, and that probably set in motion.
In this people's field. Houses.
In, like, you know, places where they don't need them, like near their bed at night when I'm in there with a flashlight.
Yeah.
They don't need it.
Lock your doors if you don't want me to think everything's free.
Yeah, get better windows that aren't so screwdriverable open.
Hey, Dave, here's something else that you made on your own. You have a website with
that
a
was
ton of
now
your
that
stuff.
Freeze. That was a segue. You know, we dance you. Around these segues from time
Thank
to
you.
Time, but fuck you, that was great. That was awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. So, people that don't know, there's like a royalty lawsuit going on. If you've ever wondered why some comedians you listen to are off of Spotify or Pandora or whatever, a lot of stuff going on in the business. A lot of, you know, hey, I own this, but this person owns part of this, but then I have to give this to them and this, blah, blah, blah. So you decided to make a website to own all of your stuff.
Yeah, I mean, partly take my ball and go home sort of a thing. You know, like, I just don't like how if you make content is the worst word. It's like a wad of nothing. Can it at least be entertainment? I mean, it doesn't have to be art, but for the love of God, does it have to just be, here, I made, content. I mean, it just, if you look at it, I guess your eyes saw something, so therefore I made it. It just disgusts me. So I didn't want to just have to just constantly be churning stuff out to keep up with some weird algorithm. I wanted like a right. little store you could come into. So that's kind of my website now. And then for this new podcast, I did that. But one, because like you're saying, the business, like I think eventually Apple, because they started subscriptions, is going to kind of edge out Patreon and not allow them to have their feeds sure. play on Apple Podcasts. So then you'll be at the mercy of like your feeds will probably have to play on the Patreon app, which isn't that big of a deal. But maybe if you had your own thing, you know, I did Professor Blastoff. We don't even own the name to that anymore. And that was for a company that paid us nothing. And maybe this gets me in trouble saying publicly, they didn't really pay us a lot. And then later that same company sold for like tens of millions of dollars. Yeah, it's a weird right. feeling to be like, wait a second, wait.
And now it's behind a paywall if I want to go listen
right.
to Professor Blastoff.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have no ownership of it whatsoever. So I just wanted to avoid that. Jeez. I think some of it's just from kind of bitterness at that, like having that experience. And like, okay, I had pitched this sketch show I've been making to every network. I feel genuinely like it was every network. And one of them, the last meetings, was going to take like a month to get back to me. And I said, hey, before we waste each other's time, it's scripted. So just let me know if that's a problem. I get an email back. We love scripted. And do you want to know the excuse they used, why they passed on it like 3 weeks later? Maddening. So I just had enough. I was like, I was willing to concede a little bit of ownership. But once that was like a no everywhere, I just thought, well, I'll just do it myself then.
Mm-hmm. And this idea you're talking about is something that Chad and I have both been able to be a part of. A ton of your friends. I know the very first people who are Professor Blastoff fans, the very first one on the very first podcast, you will very much recognize Tig's voice.
Yeah.
And it's you took all these and you've been doing audio sketches, which I love, and you're just running them basically as a podcast. It's you writing these, having your friends be involved, and they're all on your website, right?
They're all at theendlessabyss.org, but you can get there from davidhuntsberger.com. But yeah. I basically built a thing that's, it can be its own website, but it also is kind of like a membership thing where it's essentially a network, but it became a pretty big world. I mean, I did it probably again out of like kind of feeling slighted of like, can I just own something? And I loved all those old Adam Sandler albums. And I was like, maybe I can just make a sketch album. Maybe I can crank out 10. But as I started writing them and like thinking of friends' voices and characters they could play and like reaching out and checking in with everybody, which was one really great to do kind of coming out of the pandemic, just, hey, let's do something fun together. Mm-hmm. Let's say hello. It ended up being like just dozens. It was so many of them where I was doing like one or two a day. And really, I loved it. And so then it just became like this giant world that is a lot of work, but And it's there's not even on Apple Podcasts a category for sketch. Isn't that weird? It doesn't even exist.
Oh, well, it's Sandler, Norm MacDonald, and then, you know, that's kind of it.
Yeah, it just felt like that disappeared. Like, Norm MacDonald's Ridiculous is like 20 years old, and that felt like the last one that kind of got everyone's attention and we all liked so much. And as I was writing them, I was thinking too, like, that muscle, all those people had to churn out a script by a certain date weekly with immense pressure. You get really good at it, you know, writing for SNL or something like that, of like exercising that muscle. But then they all become celebrities and movie stars and they like leave that muscle behind. And I wish they had like just kept doing this. I think it's so much more interesting.
It was, I'm going to do what I do, which is turn everything towards myself because I'm a psycho. But I have to tell you, so people who listen to the show know, you know, I deal with some health shit, and they know it was bad for a while, and it's, you know, it's been progressing a little bit in the right direction. But what a lot of people don't know is I couldn't really talk for a while. Yeah. Like, I could, but I couldn't project my voice. So there were a lot of episodes where Chad was taking the lead. I would pipe in. We would have guests. I would jump in a little bit. And, you know, through PT and some other stuff that started getting better, one of the first things I was able to do when my voice, because when you can't project your voice, like, you can maybe talk and you're down here, but you can't get up here and you can't do impressions and you can't do voices and be weird. And you asked me to do your thing, and I said yes, and then I bailed. And then I said yes, and then I bailed, which is pretty on par with me across the board in the last 7 years.
I don't think you bailed. You were pretty honest about just being like, I can't physically speak currently. That's a pretty good reason.
Sounds like a bail to me.
So
sounds pretty baily if you ask old Chatteroo. So, old Uncle Tits.
I had so much fun doing it, and when I was done, I was so proud of it, and I was so excited for these to come out, and you know, we all love each other. You know, Chad and I don't like to define our relationship, but we all love each other, but I have to, like, I don't know how to say this without making you feel weird. I love them so much. I'm so proud of how they turned out for you. Like, I'm so excited. They're fucking great because they are. They're different from anything else out there.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
And there's kind of a thread that runs through them, and they're just so fucking great. It's called The Intercept.
Intercepts. No, there is a podcast called The Intercept. This is Intercepts plural. And thanks again. You guys were so kind about Big Nothingness, which is, you know, to be expected. But I feel like I never would read the comments, but my life mate would be like, oh, you got a really nice one. Or like a lot of people that listen to the Chad and Si's podcast found that and really enjoyed it. And so I felt like you guys were the biggest advocates for it, which I really appreciated because I like what you make,
too. That was so cool. It was so cool, dude, to have like the, well, if you're listening right now and you haven't seen Big Nothingness, I like a good hook isn't the right word because that makes it feel corny. That's kind of like the word content. But I like I like the idea behind the special, the thing that makes it, if you will, special. So,
well, thanks.
Yep. Yeah, completely agree. So, Dave, thanks so much for coming on. I know that Si, his carbon brush has run out. And he needs to go. He needs to
you
go.
You lay
one.
Off me, Uncle Tits. It's wild. We did two friends, Bill Squire, who's fantastic, and you. We recorded you guys back to back. We're gonna put them out on the same day, but we haven't done a guest episode in so long. I forgot how divorced parenty we get.
Yeah, we do.
Just like our kid is showing off and doing a great job and we're in the stands, like, looks like you put on a few pounds, you fuck.
Yeah, well, guess what? All his woodworking skills and roping skills are my genetics, you pile of shit. All right. Dave, yeah, thanks a ton for coming on. Good luck with everything. I can't wait to see the whole finished product and everything.
Thanks.
So
it's lengthy.
Intercepts. And you can go, you can get there through davidhunsberger.com, but what's the whole one?
It will sound so foreign to begin with, but theendlessabyss.org. And again, you can get there through davidhunsberger.com. Has a membership. Is there like a term beyond just middle of somewhere, like Uncle Ronnie or something? Is there something maybe shorter than that? I can make a code. If people enter it, they'll get 50% off and like the
Uncle
first
Tits.
Month free.
Uncle Tits.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Enter Uncle Tits.
100% Uncle Tits.
Yeah. If you want it. So the membership is just so I can hopefully start paying like some editors, pay the voice actors a little bit. Because it's just me currently. It's a lot. But if you want to start a membership, you can listen for free and cancel it anytime and enter Uncle Tits at theendlessabyss.org, and it's on Apple Podcasts currently, and it'll start showing up other places like Stitcher and Google, etc. But that's it. Scripted sketch comedy. It grows into a whole weird world.
I love it.
Okay, well, yeah, thank you again, and I'm going to tell you something that I know you hate. Please say hi to everybody for me.
You know I won't. You know you have a device in your pocket. They'll do that so much faster than I can. I have a rotary phone. You know that.
Hey, Dave, please say hi to everybody for me.
I won't. You know I won't.
Hey, if you guys like this, there will be a new episode next Monday and every single Monday at 8 a.m. So click the subscribe button so your phone sends it to you without having to do any work.